Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself with others. Now, tonight, my special guest is a return visitor, and she's our monthly featured past life regressionist, Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She's also an author, as I mentioned, a past life connector, and she is a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Note of her books, folks, here they come. There is The Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now. Life is Forever, Get Used to It. And The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. They will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. To schedule a past life exploration or learn more about her books, go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com. Now I'm going to spell her name, and she is live in the studio. It is MaryLouMcIntyre.com, and we'll ask her to tell us just a little bit about those books. Mary Lou, good evening.
Hi, David. It's so good to talk to you again.
Oh, you too. The callers are stacking up.
Well, that's just wonderful, isn't it?
That sure is.
Get plugged in, huh?
That's right. Well, you know, they know they know a good thing when they see one. What can I say? I know that we have at least one new caller. We have at least one repeat caller. And the other three people are mysteries to me at this point in time. But we'll find out who they are, and all in good time. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about your books for those that haven't listened before, starting with The Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into the Now?
Well, I sure will. That book, The Fast Road to Happiness, a person can learn how to break the time-space barriers to heal your life. This book is a roadmap to heal phobias and fears from past life that create irrational behavior. It may be the missing link to healing that psychologists and the medical field overlook. It covers spiritual healing and conscious past life regressions and documented successful healing for individuals. And that's what that book is all about. And the other book on my spiritual quest is Life is Forever, Get Used to It. This book provides proof of survival after death, and it's my true life story, which is an adventure into realms of the paranormal to learn about life here and hereafter. This book provides proof of survival after physical death to comfort the mourner and inspire the truth seeker. Both the skeptic and the truth seeker can glimpse new worlds and find contentment. And then my final book, Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. People can use this book to contact the inner spiritual essence to improve the quality of life, as well as ideals to consider about exterior concepts of reality. Be in control of your future. This book shows you how in a humorous way. What if you were an angel? Would you just play the harp all the time or want to experience the different dimensions of the universe and continue to grow in wisdom? This is a fun how-to book as well as what if. So you have to decide whether it's real or not. You decide for yourself. How's that, David?
Well,
that's
wonderful. And I like the way you say that, because that ultimately is what we have to do with regard to the life that we are living. And sometimes it seems very unreal sometimes. You know, the spirit world is a lot more real than what we perceive as reality. And I'm interested in the first book where you talked about conscious past life regression. What do you mean by that?
Conscious past life regression is when I'm able to help a person get out of their body, which is just the temple for their soul, and we've got go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So people can contact you to do that, and what's the best way for them to do that?
No, I cannot give regressions over the phone. I have to be able to, so far anyhow, I haven't developed the ability to get them out of their body. But I, what I can do, I have developed the ability to create a connection verbally, you know, between their voice and me. And then I can go into the Akashic Records and find the release for their present problem.
I see. And that's something you'll be doing tonight, is that correct?
Yes, I certainly plan on it.
Good, good. Well, is there anything that you would like to share with us about new happenings in your life since we last talked?
Well, I have been having quite a few interviews, which have, you know, been keeping me busy. And I'm also making plans for the holidays. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up and Christmas. And, you know, I have family calling saying, we want you here. And, oh, that's just so neat to be loved by people, you know.
And, yes, it is.
Yeah. So, I'm, you know, deciding how I'm going to make those arrangements. So I'm going to be pretty busy the month of December. But between now and then, I'm going to be busy with interviews. And as far as setting up these readings, David, I wonder if I could get you to time them. Either that, or I can dig out a little timer that I have,
I'd be happy to time them. As it stands, we only have four people waiting for readings. So until we get more people, just go for it.
We do the four, David? Why don't we do the four that are waiting? And then maybe in the meantime, more people will be calling in.
That's usually what happens. So why don't we go to caller number one, who you've talked to before, who was kind enough, I believe, to call you, and that is Jill from North Chicago. Jill, you're live on the air.
Hi, Jill.
Hello. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. Okay,
what can I do for you?
okay, I'm going to bring something up, but if you get something else, you can follow that. I have this fear of heights. It's not a head thing. It's not a mind thing. I get up high, not that high. Even in a building, I almost start to lose consciousness. I get dizzy, and I feel like I'm going to lose consciousness and pass out.
Something in this lifetime, have you ever had an experience? I'm sorry.
I fell out of a tree, but it wasn't that far up.
Well, how far up does a fall have to be? Okay,
another energy field comes over me and takes over.
Oh, my goodness. So you can't ride in elevators or...
I can.
Hello?
A little. I'm here. Like, I'm okay with airplanes. I'm okay with elevators until they start getting too high. It's like something takes over me and energy takes over me.
Okay, Jill. Let me. My guide is here now. And let me see how I can find out. I think. What's happening is I'm moving back to Egypt when Egypt was, you know, just glorious. And you were of a wealthy family. And you were very spiritually oriented. And as a matter of fact, you were into... kind of like spiritual healing in the temples where they had huge pools of water. And a lot of the healing took place in water. And some of it was the result of music and motion. And you knew all of that. You were very highly revered, as a matter of fact, because you were so good. And so one night you were invited to a gala, you know, just a huge ball at one of the wealthiest families in the area. It was near Cairo. And you were just thrilled because it was a real honor that they were bestowing upon you by the invitation. And so you, you know, got all dressed up and you went to their palace, and they had the ballroom was like in a spire is the only word I can think of, you know, like a huge, you know, a church spire, only really big, you know, it wasn't just a little thin thing. Anyhow, that's where the ballroom was, and there was balconies all the way around it. And windows. It was really unique and advanced in design. It was almost like being at the top of a pyramid, as a matter of fact. And so you were dancing and just having a wonderful time. And you went out on the balcony with a couple of other, you know, attendees. And you were just, you know, kind of joking and playing around. But what happened was you lost your balance, and somehow in the confusion to try to help catch you, you actually got knocked over the rail and plummeted. And you really plummeted to your death at that time. And on the way down, as you realized what was happening and that you were going to die, you were saying to yourself, I will never go up into any heights again. I'm staying on it. That's you. And your soul, your body, and that was ingrained into your consciousness, that you were never going to go up any height. You were just going to stay on the ground. And so there you are. So all I can tell you now is just stay out of palaces with turrets and balconies.
And the balcony thing fits, too, because I'm very uncomfortable with balconies.
Yes, well, that's why. That helps to explain that. But what you have to realize to get the healing in yourself and in your consciousness is just let that experience go and realize that, well, if you can go up in planes and stuff, you know there's no danger in heights. And so that was just a unique one-time experience that will never happen again.
Okay.
And so don't let it rule your life, Jill, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank
God
you.
That
was very detailed.
You're welcome. Good.
Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Mary Lou. Jill, it's always
You're
a
welcome.
Pleasure to have you call in. Please stay tuned in. And now we're going to move on to Kimberly from Georgia. Kimberly, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good. Say hi to
Just
Mary
fine.
Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou. How are you?
Hi, Kimberly. I'm fine. What can I do to help you today?
Yes. My fear is about not having enough. And it stems from my childhood, and I just really want to step out of that.
Well, so it's from this childhood?
I feel like it's from this childhood. It could be from other lifetimes, I'm not sure.
Well, answer, were you in a state of poverty in this child, in your present life?
Yeah.
You were? Oh.
Yes.
Okay, and you're still in that condition? You don't seem to be able to generate opulence?
Oh, no. I'm not in that condition now. I mean, I have a job. I would like to have more income. But I just, sometimes my mind will take me places where I'm not anymore.
What do you mean where you're not?
That means I was in a situation when I was younger where there was no food in the house, et cetera. But now that I have a job, you know, a stable job, I mean, I have food in the house, but I don't want...
Okay,
I
understand. All right. I understand what you're saying. So this is something that was created, a pattern that was established in this lifetime. It isn't something that you carried over from a past lifetime. But I can tell you, From the past, the reason you were born into poverty in this lifetime was because you misused wealth in the past. You were a rich landowner, and you had people working the farms. It was actually somewhere in Virginia. In the mid-1800s. And literally had slaves. And you just barely even gave them enough water, let alone a crust of bread now and then to eat. And but you were the wealthiest person in that area. And so you generated quite a karma through your jealousy, or through your, I should say, greed. It was greed. And so you had to experience, which is what you did in the early part of this lifetime, and that is what it's like to be in poverty, to not have enough food. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, so now what you can do is forgive yourself, you know, for the wrong action of that other lifetime. Forgive yourself and vow that you will do everything in your power to reach out to help others in need, and that you will share your wealth and happiness, and you affirm opulence, you affirm a flow of finance into your life so that you can use it to help others. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. And please let me know how that works out for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're sure welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Kimberly. It's good to
Thank
hear
you.
It from you. Please call in again. Mary Lou is a regular. And
okay.
All you have to do is check blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark, and you'll see my upcoming episodes. So you can find out when she'll be on again that way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, nice to talk to you. We're now
going to
go on to an 800 caller. The first three digits of their phone number are 360, and I'm trying to get them into the studio. Let's see here. Sometimes it does not work just the way I'd like it to.
These newfangled things, David.
I know. We're still working at it. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. I have you live on the line. And who am I speaking with, please?
My name is June London.
Hi, June. How are you tonight?
Just fine, thank you. I'm calling you from work. That's why you can't see my number. I'm sorry.
Ah, okay. You sneaky little... All right. Well, say hi to Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, just a moment. I... There you are, Mary Lou.
Yes?
Okay. June was trying to say hello to you, and in my haste, I muted your mic, so June is on the line.
Okay, good to hear from you again, June. What can I do for you?
Tell me, Mary Lou, chronic situation. I think it's from this lifetime, but let me know if it's not. I do not have or never had a
loving... Wait a minute,
you
think it's of this lifetime?
It could be, yes. I've never had a loving relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to know if this is something that I just have to accept for this lifetime so I can move on and look for other things in my life.
Well, no, that's never true. You can, regardless of if this is a karmic pattern or what, you don't just have to accept things that you don't like. Your purpose for being here is to realize your perfection and to realize that you have the right for all good things that exist in this lifetime. And you just have to be positive. Have you ever heard me say that before? Be positive and take control of your life?
Yes, but... Also,
well, this is another example of that. I will tell you, however, there was a lifetime it used to be Siam. Now I think it's Iran, but I'm not sure.
Yes, that's correct.
That's right. Okay. And you were a daughter of one of the wealthy rulers of the area, and you had everything you wanted and more, certainly more than what you needed. But you always wanted more, and you always got more. And you had suitors lined up trying to marry you because, of course, you were very attractive and very wealthy. You were female. And... So you would, I don't know what kind of the word, you would just like play with these suitors. You know, it's like a cat and mouse game is the image that I'm getting. And they were the mouse and you were the cat and you were like poking at them and just to watch them jump and then you would laugh. You get the picture of, other than the cat and mouse, how you were as a wealthy female. Okay, so many of the suitors from that lifetime you have met in this lifetime. And it's payback. These fellows, you know, establish a relationship with you and then they leave you. And that's the payback. And that's why you've been having a problem. Because these fellows that you owe karma to, are they've been going through their life collecting that karma. Do you understand that, June?
Yes.
Okay. So what you have to do is forgive yourself for inappropriate behavior in relationships and just affirm that you will reach out in a loving, compassionate way, looking for a mate. You might want to write down the qualities that you would like this person to have. And then make sure that your qualities are the kind that would be compatible. Do you understand?
Hello? Yes,
do
I'm
you
here.
Understand what I'm saying? Hello?
Compatibility, yes.
About writing the list and then making yourself compatible, yeah, with those qualities.
Oh, yes.
And just affirm, you know, that a loving relationship be guided into your life. Be positive, June. See it happening, okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You are not positive at all. I'm not hearing it either, June.
Well, I've studied this, and I know that there's no guarantees, and most people go through life
well,
on
just
love.
Keep on being negative, and you will not get a relationship. It's as simple as that, my darling.
Okay.
Be positive. There's no reason if you relate to right thought and right action, you relate to the golden rule, there's no reason why you cannot have a relationship. But you have to forgive yourself for, you know, creating the problem in the first place. Just forgive yourself. And about you're certainly not in the same position in this lifetime to do the same anyhow. So just forgive yourself, okay? Give it a try. Give it a positive try, June.
All right.
Thank you, hon. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Mary Lou, you've brought up two very important concepts as far as I'm concerned. And the most important one, I think, is self-forgiveness. Because before we can love ourselves, we have to forgive ourselves. There's no moving in a positive direction without letting go of negativity. And I could hear it in June's voice that she was very unconvinced that she would be able to attract a loving relationship. So what I have found works for me, June, if you're still listening, is to work with affirmations. And I'll be interested in what Mary Lou has to say about that. But for instance, a good affirmation that I used to attract love into my life is to say that I am a beloved child of God. I am worthy of love. What do you think about affirmations, Mary Lou?
Perfect. And it's the, being positive and using the affirmations, visualize, you know, somebody coming into your life, like it would be maybe a shadow image, because you don't know what he would look like. But yeah, be positive and affirm that you are worthy of loving and being loved.
Absolutely, and I liked what you said about visualization. These are tools, very important spiritual tools, that a lot of people aren't aware of. Visualization, imagination, very powerful ways to attract whatever it is that you desire. So, folks, try to work with that and believe, not just believe, but know that you have the power to attract whatever it is that you desire if it serves the highest good for all. And is not just self-serving. So I'm going to bring a caller from area code 773 on the line, and you are now live. This is David Clark. Who am I speaking with tonight?
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, is it?
Yes.
Hi, say hi to Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, Elizabeth. Can you speak up so I can hear you clearly and get the link in with your vibration?
Yes, is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My question is, I need to move. I live with some toxic roommates. I don't know how I got myself into this situation. It's been 10 months, and I can't seem to I don't know what to do. I was self-reliant and self-employed for 12 years, but these people are completely draining my
spirit. Okay, Elizabeth, I want to stop you right here.
Yes?
I give past life readings to heal or release problems.
Okay.
I think what you're looking for is you want a medium to tap to one of your guides or something to give you advice on what to do. Isn't that correct?
Not really. I'm thinking that, I remember a past life in Europe. I'm not sure if I need to move to Europe.
No, let's not get into that. Okay. If you can just, Elizabeth...
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me what it is that disturbs you, you know, that you feel is irrational behavior or a lack of some kind that you can't understand why you're experiencing it.
Verbal abuse.
Well, what about it? Are you giving it or receiving it?
I'm receiving it for no reason.
Okay, and this is something that you've experienced throughout this life?
A couple, yeah, from family, from friends.
And you have gone into your own heart and mind, and you see no reason for this abuse?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All righty. I see you as a, I think it's Haitian. It's like a Russian soldier, not soldier, officer. And you have a big fur cap on and an elegant uniform with red jacket and the gold shoulder things, and you have ribbons. Oh, you're very elegant. And you are the head of the Czar's, the protection of the castle that he lives in, and it's the Tsar of Russia. So you're a very prominent and revered almost because of your ability to protect the life of the Tsar and his family and property. And it has certainly gone to your head because you think you're wonderful also. And in a way, you know, you are. But and you can certainly, everybody has the right to acknowledge their abilities and qualities. But if you or when, as you did in this lifetime or in that lifetime, I should say, force others to do things in the first place that were not really necessary, were not conducive to creating greater privacy or greater security, but just because you wanted to give orders and watch your troops jump to try to accomplish them, some of which you knew could never be accomplished. You knew it, but you gave it, you know, you gave that instruction or that order to some of your men. And this went on you had that position. Oh my gosh, it was between 18 and 22 years. I don't know why I can't get a positive number of years. I don't really think it.
Mary Lou, are you there?
Hello?
Elizabeth, I'm here. It seems that we've lost Mary Lou temporarily. Her mic still is showing live. Let's see if I can get her back. Just hang in there. But one thing that I wanted to say is that we do have coming up on October 24th, which is a Friday at 7:30 p.m., there is a medium who can help you work with current life goals. She's a visionary. She can look ahead. She can help you get through current conflicts. Now, I've lost Mary Lou, so perhaps she's calling back in. But Athena
okay.
Star will be on October 24th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, so you might want to call in for that show, too.
Okay,
she's
great.
Yeah. Let's see. We're still waiting for Mary Lou to come back. So, Elizabeth, where are you calling from? Elizabeth?
Yes?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Chicago.
Ah, okay. Well, I have another caller who was from North Chicago. She was the first one on the air tonight, Jill. And Jill is a loyal fan and has called in for many episodes. And Mary Lou is always very willing to give additional readings for folks. What I'm going to do, please stay on the line. I'm going to bring Jill's microphone live and try calling Mary Lou to find out what's going on. So let me see if I can get Jill up here. Jill, how
Hello.
Are you? Jill, would you talk to Elizabeth for a moment while I try calling Mary Lou? I've lost her.
Okay, Elizabeth, you're from Chicago?
Yes.
Where in Chicago?
Naperville.
Okay, see, I'm up here by Waukegan.
Oh, okay.
So you're not too far from me.
No, not at all.
So what do you think of this crazy weather?
It's not bad. I like it. It's, you know, it could be worse.
Uh-huh, true.
We could be in California where there's no water and they're running out of water, so at least we have Lake Michigan and the lakes and things.
True. I'm right on Lake Michigan, actually, a mile from it.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about that water situation here, so.
Yes, that's true. Hopefully he'll get a hold of Mary Lou.
Do they have us on the air, or are we talking privately?
No, I think we're on the air.
Oh. Gosh, what a small world.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So have you lived there your whole life?
I have, but I moved all over the place. So, yeah, I want to move somewhere else, and that was kind of my question. Where do I move to? I didn't know where I should move to. So,
where have you lived?
Oh, gosh, I've lived all over the U.S.
Hello?
Yes?
I heard a click.
Yeah, I did too. I don't know what that was. Yeah, I've lived all over the U.S. I've lived on the East Coast, the West Coast.
So what place did you like the best?
I don't know. My thoughts on that have changed over the years. I really like the West Coast. I lived in Nevada for 10 years. But I would never go back there now. I think I've just outgrown it.
Hi,
I've grown so spiritually that
I'm unable to answer the phone right now. But
I lived in Albuquerque for 6.5.
Yeah, I like Albuquerque, actually. I really do like New Mexico.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm back on the telephone. I was unable to hold of Mary Lou, and we have two other callers patiently waiting, area code 901 and 516.
I'll hang up and try her again.
Okay, I have tried her twice unsuccessfully, but if you're willing to do that, that's great.
All right, I'll hang up and try her again.
Thanks so much. Elizabeth, what did you get out of your reading so far?
You know, I thought she was right because I do remember fighting. I do remember fighting for things. And in this life, I am fighting for things, literally. And I have spoken the truth, and I've been attacked for speaking the truth, even though it's the truth. So, you know, I know I'm supposed to speak the truth. I know I'm supposed to defend the truth, but I've been, you know, abused for it.
Yeah. I can relate to that. I do see Mary Lou has called back in, and we'll bring her live in just a moment. But I wanted to say that I can relate very much to that theme of a victim playing out in this life without any understanding at an earlier point in time what that was about, you know. And I have gotten in touch with many of my past lives, and I certainly have some understanding of what that's about. Now, let me bring Mary Lou's mic live. And Mary Lou, is that you?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know what happened.
I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue, but Elizabeth is still live, so I don't know what else you wanted to say to her. Yeah, we've been having a great little chat, and Jill and her chatted while I tried calling you.
but you were calling me on my other line, which
I didn't
answer because and so all that time, Elizabeth, I was telling you how to solve your problem, and it's just out there on the ether somewhere because you didn't hear
Oh, my.
So I will quickly just summarize. Be kind to yourself and realize that in the past, you were cruel to people, and some of them are coming back into this lifetime and letting you experience how that feels to have cruelty forced on you. So just forgive yourself, forgive them, and just commit to live by the golden rule and always, reach out to serve others.
Thank you.
And I'm sure it'll help. And keep in touch and let me know, please.
Thank you so much.
You're sure welcome, sweetie.
Thanks for calling, Elizabeth, and please try us again sometime. Mary Lou, I had sent you an email. I don't know if you received it. And I'm not going to put you on the spot, but what the email said was that I do have an opening November 6th, if you're available at that point in time. And Elizabeth and others that are listening, as I've mentioned, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark to see when Mary Lou will next be on the show. But I'm very interested in what you're saying about forgiveness. We talked about self-forgiveness, forgiveness of others, as that plays into karmic destiny, if you will, and blessing others, how important that is. Can you speak to that a little bit before we move on to the next caller?
Well, you know what? What is that? What goes around comes around. What you
You're
put
right.
out from yourself is what
you're
yes. going to get back. And
yes.
That cannot change. That is the natural law of karma, and you know, cause and effect. And certainly that's scientifically proven to be, you know, genuine. It's not. You know, some magical or mystical theory. It is true.
Right.
And whatever you put out from yourself is always a part of you. That's why there's an Akashic record of everybody's soul life that I can tap into you know, talk about past life experiences that you've had. Because it's all, I know when I first heard that everybody has a book of life, I thought, oh, sure, that's crazy. Where would that be? You know, that was the kind of, like, you know, where's that library? Well, I still don't know where it is, but I am allowed to make contact with it. That's all I know. And I do know that I am responsible for everything that happens in my life. So if you take our advice and visualize the finest things in life that you want to have as a possession or as a profession, you know, something you want to do, something you want to be, just know that you are created in God's image, and you are blessed just as the flowers and the trees to grow perfectly the way you're meant to. If you don't mess it up, you know?
Well, I certainly believe that no child of God deserves abuse. And I think that coming back to what I was saying before, the use of affirmation is such a wonderful, positive tool to get in touch with God's self. Because God is only good, which is what we all are. We're created in God's image, therefore we are only good. And we do not need to be victims unless we choose to be. And for whatever reason, and it always seems to come from past lives, that victim stuff comes up and we need to get rid of it.
Exactly.
I've got a caller that's been patiently waiting for 35 minutes, and their number has disappeared off the screen. So I'm going to bring them live, and I'm going to ask everybody on the line to say hello, but only the caller who I just clicked on will come through. So please, everybody, say hello.
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 There you are. You're live, and what is your name?
Hi, my name is Lanice.
Lanice?
Louise,
hi.
Hi. Please, hi, Louise.
Lanice.
Lanice, okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And what can I do for you, dear?
I recall a past life from Mexico, and I would like to know what you see on that lifetime and how it, and just what you can tell me about it.
A lifetime that you already saw?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of an unusual, you know, I can't usually
or just whatever
do this
comes
just
up
out with of
past
curiosity.
Life for you.
What?
I said, oh, whatever comes up about past life for me or my most recent or...
No, that's what I'm trying to say. It oh my God, there's the phone again. Did I get cut off?
I'm
still
here.
Can you hear me?
You're still here.
Okay. Well, I I just can't go back randomly unless it's like maybe a lifetime that will help you achieve the highest and best in this lifetime. Is that what you
yes,
want me to do?
Yes, that's exactly my question. Yes, you hit it.
Oh,
on
okay.
Thank
well,
you.
So I formed your question for you. That's good.
Thank you.
All right. Let me see. Oh, I see you. You're like in the hills of the mountainside in the Alps, and you're wearing those cute, I was going to say costumes, but it's their dress. You know, those little hats with the turned up edges. I don't even know how to explain it, but I can see it so clearly. And maybe, you know, if you try, maybe you can see it too. You're a young girl. You have long, blonde, curly hair. And you have four brothers, and you're the only child, and you have the only girl in the family. And have a loving mother and father. It's just a wonderful life. They have a nice house. You know, it's not like super opulent, but it's very comfortable, and you have everything that that you need or that a young girl would want. And you really, you know, wanted for nothing. And your brothers were. Well, let's see. They tended sheep for not for the family, but for a neighbor who had a big ranch. And so you spent a lot of time by yourself because they were off busy, you know, doing their herding, I think they call it. And so... You learned to draw. You became a wonderful little artist, and you would draw pictures of your family, you know, portraits, and they frame them, and your house was full of, you know, pictures that you had drawn, and then you moved to beautiful scenery. You know, the Alps at sunset time, the Alps covered in snow, the Alps covered in green grass, seasonal. And that became your life. Your imagination just grew and grew, and you were able to express that imagination by creating great beauty. And in this lifetime, have you stimulated that imagination where you see beauty and even more than the average person does?
Yes.
Excuse
me? Yes. I have not drawn, but it's more with photography now. And I actually do channeling with pictures, and I channeled a collage for my cousin who passed over some years ago. And I made a collage with captions on them to her children. And I was guided through that, and it turned out to be something really beautiful.
Okay, and, well, this is something, the reason they wanted me to show you that lifetime. And certainly it must help to explain why you have, you know, such a talented gift in this lifetime. And this is to perpetuate that, to continue with that, especially in the unique way that you do it. You can help so many people. And you will grow leaps and bounds your own spiritual awareness and your own spiritual gifts will open up as you reach out more and more through your photographic gift. And it is a gift. Do you realize that?
Yes, I'm realizing it.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm really seeking to bring forth my gifts now and not exhausting my energy with that I'm not gifted to do and tie that to my abundance.
Well, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Yeah, focus on your ability to make other people happy and to bring beauty through for people to see, because not all people can see beauty. I don't know if you realize that, but it's true.
Well, I recently, Spirit had me to post on Facebook that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's out
of
the blue.
Well, yeah, that's not
that's
new.
That's just what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were saying that everybody doesn't see beauty, and that's so true.
Exactly. And so that's what you're here to do in this lifetime. That will bring you the greatest happiness and help the greatest number of people. And what more could a person ask, you know, to accomplish in a lifetime? So God bless you, hon. Keep up the good work.
I'd also like to say that the lifetime that I know about is the same as what you said. It's just a different place. I was an artist, and I painted and did pictures, and they're all in frames.
Well, see,
in
there
lifetime.
You are.
So
isn't that fascinating?
Really yes, you hit it.
Yeah.
It's just a different location.
Well, thank you.
Different location. And I'm
thank
so excited
so
because nobody has been able to pick up that lifetime. And it's been confirmed and confirmed. I've met people who were in that lifetime. And this is really exciting to hear, to get this confirmation from you. So,
well, fantastic.
Or validation, I say validation.
Now pick up your camera and start healing people with it, because you can. The pictures you take will do that.
And I'm also interested in doing the reborn dolls. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, and I've been putting it off and putting it off, but I think once I start, I'm going to be great at it.
Fantastic. Well,
doll
keep in touch.
Yes.
You know, you can always email me or go to my website and leave a message.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. God bless
Thank you,
you.
Lanice. It's
thank
nice
you.
To talk to you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And now we're going to move on to area code 516. If you'll bear with me for a moment, we're trying to bring them live. Area code 516, you're live. Who am I speaking with, please?
My name is Sandra, and I'm calling from New York.
Oh, Sandra, welcome. How is it
Thank
in New York
you.
Tonight?
Thank you. Excuse me?
How is it in New York tonight?
It's a little windy here, but it was a beautiful day, very sunny.
Oh,
you know, just a gorgeous fall day.
Well, say
makes
hello to Mary Lou.
Alive, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. So I have a question. I definitely have like a fear that it kind of seemed to develop around in my 30s when I went to go have an MRI. And I've had other MRIs done in my 20s and wasn't really bothered, you know. And I've been in tanning beds and never had any, you know, fear of closed-in spaces. But this last time around, I had to have this MRI done. And I was like a cat on a hot tin roof. I could not get myself to be laying down. I felt so uncomfortable. I physically couldn't do it. And there's no reason that I can think of. So that certainly seems to be something that I'd love to know. Why is that?
So you want to know why the idea of having an MRI disturbed you so much?
Well, yeah, it's the closed-in, something over me type of fear.
But this isn't something that has plagued you all your life, is it?
No, it isn't. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a cranial MRI done when I was in my 20s, and at that time they didn't even have open MRIs. It was a long tube. You went to the far, far back, and I mean,
well,
I managed it.
Well, I don't need all those details.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So
well,
no, it's not. It's something. That's why I said it began in my 30s.
Okay, and how many times have you had to refuse an MRI?
Well, I've never had to refuse one yet. Thankfully, I've
okay,
been tall
was
enough.
Was it because of a disease, supposedly, or that they thought possibly you had?
No, not at all. It was an injury, but thankfully I was tall enough where I wasn't completely in the machine. Or else, yeah, I would have had to refuse it.
Oh,
the thought of going
but,
in there was just...
So you did get the MRI successfully, though.
Yes,
right?
I did. But the thought of going in all the way was painfully scary. And there's no reason that I can think of why that would be.
And you've never had that kind of fear in any other situation?
No, ma'am. No.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And like I said, it just kind of started in my 30s. So I can't...
Well, when you say it started, what do you mean?
I mean that I've had past MRIs where I've explained to you where it was very
yes,
claustrophobic and
that.
Closed
yeah.
in, and I didn't have any reaction to it at all. Was I uncomfortable with the thought of going into a
oh.
tube? Yeah, but I managed it. It wasn't something that I felt
but
terrified.
But this fear just has to do with MRIs, right?
So far, yeah. I haven't had it anywhere
okay,
else.
This is what I'm getting. Okay, I had to, you know, keep digging until I could get a connection.
Okay.
And my, oh my, you are a very, very old soul, my dear.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Very old. Yes. You were a scientist on Atlantis.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you know anything about Atlantis, but there's a lot of metaphysical books and, you know, sources where you can go to read on it or
sure.
just go into meditation and or get my book and learn how to regress yourself. But anyhow, you were a scientist and you did work with machines like those big MRI machines. Only they were much bigger and much more complicated because they did actually have healing abilities when the machine was used, you know, properly. It
okay.
not only did the scanning, but once that was perceived by the physician, he would know, you know, if the machine could heal it, and if so, the healing would take place. So it was really wondrous. We have nothing like that, well, that I'm aware of, at this time on the planet. But, you know, the sun was poisonous, sending, you know, heavy poisons that affected people's mental abilities. I mean, it was driving them crazy. And, you know, it was like their brains were burning. It was a pretty awesome way to wipe out civilization, but that's pretty much what was happening. And you were a male doctor. You got a jump on it right away. You realized right away that the atmosphere was becoming polluted, and you were recommending people that could to get off the planet and, you know, get out of that area, if not, you know, completely off the planet. And you were very dedicated, very devoted to helping people. And you had a family, you had a wife, and, oh, my goodness, you had about 7 children.
Oh, God bless. I don't have any now. I guess I got that out of the way.
Oh, I think you figured you had them all back.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
That figures. Anyhow, so you wanted your family to migrate, if that's the right word, to South America, the continent of South America. And you even had a plane, and you provided your family. You helped them, you know, get packed, and they wanted you to go with them, but you said you had to stay and, you know, do what you could do, and that you would join them later. And that's kind of the way it was left. And so they took off, all seven of them, and the wife and your mother-in-law. They just threw that in, just, I don't know. That was your family back then. And so you went back to the laboratory, and you actually fixed up one of the rooms right there in the clinic where you lived. Because you didn't want to, you know, go to your home because it was empty. So, and you were there to help serve. And there was certainly always a lineup for people that were hoping that you would be able to help them. And you did. You were able to really do a lot of good. And then you started failing. You were becoming affected by the poison atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you started making some mistakes in the healing process that you were trying to accomplish. And you caused the death of some of the patients. And that just horrified you. The fact that you did that, you knew at that point that it had gone too far, that you were already, you yourself, were already too infected to take a plane and go join your family, because you knew that you were not going to recover from the condition. And well, what I'm getting is you climbed into your machine and you turned it on and it killed you. And that was your intention. That was your intention. It was kind of like, you know, professional suicide. I don't know what else to call it, but you knew that would happen if you knew which buttons to push that would destroy you. And that's what you did. And they found you about 3 days later. And so what a horrific way to go. Suicide in the first place is just devastating to the soul experience. And so what you have to realize is that some portion, not of the diseased brain, but of the actual, what you chose, or the way you chose to end your life. And that, of course, there was that wave of anxiety and fear as you were pushing the buttons, knowing that this was, you know, the last goodbye. And that has been carried forward in you, but why it didn't demonstrate up until, oh, I know, it was the parallel of ages, the parallel of the of your age, because he was 37 when that happened, when he committed suicide.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and so for some reason, you know, that's why it didn't bother you until this situation.
Yeah, I think I can confirm that it was about 37 when this started. Because it was in 1990. Yeah. And I knew
that's
it had to be
awesome.
Something because I'm like, what is this all of a sudden out of, like, nowhere? Like, terrified to the point of that I can't even, like, my behavior is so irrational that I cannot even put my mind around it. I'm like, what is this? Like, where is this deep fear coming from?
Okay, well, I just
well, now
handed
I know.
You a picture. And so now you know, you have to hear again, as I've told the others, you have to forgive yourself. That was
yeah.
not right action. But, you know, it was just a sign of the time. Nobody was going to let you off that planet because you were already mentally disturbed. And you weren't going to just, you know, watch yourself become crazy. And so you just have to forgive yourself. You know, you made the wrong decision. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it'll never happen again. And you just
yeah.
confirm that will never happen again anyhow. And so, and the way, you know, medical equipment is in this day and age, here and now, you know, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. It's a medical necessity in some situations. And just wrap yourself, if you need to have another one, just wrap yourself in a blanket of light and know that you're protected and in light. And it won't, you know, won't hurt the machine, but they'll be able to find out what they need to know if you ever need another MRI. Hopefully
yeah.
you won't.
Interestingly enough, something that has been coming to me as of late as far as wanting to do a job is radiation therapy, which works with these very large machines. And I've been really thinking about it now. Now this is,
wow.
again, now that I'm past this 37-year-old mark, that's been coming to me, and I'm thinking,
yeah.
yeah, this might be the kind of work that I'd want to do, but I don't, although I know I can be very caring, I think it could be very depressing for me, too, because you're dealing with patients that, you know, are very ill, and some won't survive.
Exactly. You have to be dedicated to heal, to want to heal and make that your focus.
Yeah, so when you were
and
saying
not
healing.
All people can do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. That could, that lifetime might be kind of, you know, making me think of why I'd be wanting to do this work, because why all of a sudden? I've always been in the business world, so I've never really thought of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it
Listen,
might be influencing
all
me.
All I've been able to do now, darling, is open the door
yeah.
to this past life.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
it.
Give you as much information as is needed to so that it will affect your consciousness and you get it. But if you meditate on it, you know, visualize yourself as this doctor and your seven children or whatever, and try to draw more of the memories and remember the good parts and get rid of the scary stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, thank you.
Just
I appreciate it.
God bless you. Let me
yes,
know.
Yes, God bless you too.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. You have a good night,
good
night, my dear.
You too.
Okay. Goodbye. And now we're going to go to our last caller of the evening, which is area code 317. We're waiting for them to come up. Okay.
Okay.
Area code 317. Thank you for
Hello.
Waiting so patiently. Hello. Who are you?
My name is Scarlett.
Oh,
I've been
Scarlett,
trying to
how
get
are
on
you?
With a show with Mary forever.
There you go. Go for
oh,
it.
Really?
And I found it, and I just called in 10 minutes ago. Spirit works.
Hi, Scarlett.
Hi. I am kind of interested in learning about my past life and how that affects this life and what to do with it.
Well, can you be specific? Because I'm sure you've had more than one past life, for one thing.
Well, I've always been afraid of being alone.
Uh-huh.
And does that carry in anxiety? Is that something to do with a past life?
Could very well be. Could very well be. Is it a fear of being alone or just an anxiety or a depression when you are alone?
Kind of both.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have a family now? Are you alone most of the time or what?
Yeah. I am now.
What?
Yeah, I'm alone now. I have a family, but I'm alone most of the time, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Except
for
my
dog. Well, then, let's get to the bottom of this so that you feel comfortable with yourself. Okay?
Okay.
Let me see. Oh, yes, you've had many lifetimes. We're going to Germany. I'd say the early 1800s. You're a businessman. You're an attorney, a male. Nice looking. You have a thriving business. And, you don't handle murder cases and go to court and stuff like that. You work primarily on estates and inheritances and things having to do with money and how to help people protect their money or get money that's due to them or use money properly, you know, that type of thing. So you're pretty well off. And you have... a wife and three children, three little girls, and a lovely home. And you also have a very attractive secretary that you start playing with. And you're not very discreet about it. And your wife finds out. And, you know, the bottom line is she packs up the kids and divorces you, and she ends up going to Vienna. I mean, she really got away from you. And so there you are with this fantastic law firm, and a lovely secretary that was just like a toy to you. Nothing, you know, nothing really serious. And when you just couldn't convince your wife of that. And so, of course, you were devastated. And the fact that she moved out of state and everything, you were never able to even see the children.
You know, that could be explained why I've been single most of my life. And I'm 55.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in a relationship, I was extremely jealous.
Oh. That would explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what ruined the relationship, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it ruined it for me, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that's why I said I won't get in a relationship because I'm too jealous.
Well, then you see, you're your own worst enemy. If you are depressed and anxious because you're alone, and then you vow that you're going to be alone, you see, you're fighting yourself.
Yeah, but I don't want that kind of relationship. I would just like to have friends.
Well, nobody wants that kind of relationship. Of course not. But what you have to do because you were the attorney, you know, in that lifetime that aired. And you have to realize that you are capable of maintaining and nurturing a loving relationship, and that you're looking for a permanent, you know, loving relationship. And, you know, forgive yourself for the errors of that lifetime, because it has affected every lifetime since then. And it gets a little bit harder each lifetime, and there's been about six of them. I mean, you're in and out because you can't handle this being alone. And in this lifetime, you have earned the right to have some kind of relationship, some kind of, I see, I don't know whether, you know, it's a male or female companionship. It doesn't necessarily have to be a marriage, but it's possible for you to at least become affiliated with a group of people that have similar interests mm-hmm. that you do. In other words, make the effort. If you don't want to get, get into a relationship, but, you know, if you're open to it, it could happen. But you have to surround yourself with people. And you're the one that's going to have to do that, because they're not going to knock on your door and scream into your house. You know what I mean?
Well, a couple of them have. I've been asked out by the cable guys. And I'm like, no.
Well, so there you are. Did you go?
No.
Okay.
I got married when I was 14. 14 years old, and I just feel like that this part of my life, I just want it to be mine and enjoy it, and not have to cook for somebody, and not have to clean
up.
Well,
then do you get depressed because you're alone? You see, you're a contradiction.
I just feel like since my kids have grown, I feel abandoned.
Oh, that empty nest thing. Well, you're not abandoned. They've grown up, and now they have their own life to live. You have to release them and get on with your own life. And if it have a relationship, then but you get lonely, then get into clubs or play bridge or bowling or something. You have to take control of your life, my dear, because that's what it is. Okay?
Okie dokie. So we just asked to forgive ourselves for our past mistakes and our past lifetimes, and that's...
Absolutely. And vow to, reach out. One very good way to heal yourself is to reach out to help people that are worse off than you are.
I've always done that. I've always
done
that.
Okay, well, there you are. Well, then keep on doing that. But I would, try to find a group of people that are interested in the same thing, and something that you're interested in. Okay? And keep in touch. Let me know how you do.
Thank you so much, and have
a
wonderful
sure
trip.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Scarlett. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, Mary Lou, that is it, although I am curious about a few past things that went on for me, which I seem to have healed from. I don't know if you're willing to address that for me.
Of course I am.
Well, thank you. I used to have an irrational fear of authority figures, deep betrayal issues, deep fear of death, and deep fear of being punished by God. Can you tell me what that might be about?
Well, David, you mentioned four different things.
I know.
I don't think it would just be a matter of going back into... one lifetime.
Well, how about the betrayal thing?
The betrayal thing?
Yeah. Because that has haunted me even recently. So that might be an interesting thing to pursue.
You mean people that you want to trust, you don't trust them? You're afraid they're going to turn on
you? I don't anymore. There are people that I perceived to have loved me who have just totally turned away from me. And this has happened within the last 2 months. One man that I cherished,
Wait a minute. I don't want to go into detail.
Gotcha.
If you want me to go back and find out why this is
yep.
happening now on your glorious,
yep.
you know, new wedding vibration, let's get rid of that and find out why. Oh, I'm going to Wales.
Oh.
My goodness. It's a coal mine. Oh, my goodness. This is really unique. Yes. And you're a miner. You're very tall and thin. And very friendly, but, you know, kind of quiet. Very industrious, very good worker. And you work well with people and, you know, all that good stuff. And, it's a coal mine. I think that's, you know, it's very dark. And you have these lanterns on your helmets. And that's primarily what you work on. You do have, there are some portable lights that give additional light, but not very much. So being down there is really a drudge. And you're down there every day, 6 days a week for 10 or 11 hours. And you do have a wife. She's not very nice. Because she never sees you, and she's just beating herself into, I don't know what to call it, but anyhow, so you don't have a good, and no children, and so on your part, no quick desire to get home at night, but you know, have to get out of that. At least when you go home, you know, there's food there for you and a bed and, you even have a shower that you get to use. And which is mining camp. That's quite a prestigious thing to have a shower. So, you know, you are well-liked but... Your wife not only turns against you because she's just really a bitter, sad person. And there's not much you can do from your exhausted, you know, existence. And so, and she gets together with the other, you know, the neighborhood wives. And tell some malicious stories that are not true about you. And and they all, they ostracize you. If they run into you on the street, cross the street. And you don't know why. You know, you haven't done anything to hurt them. And you don't know that your wife, she's just really a biddy. And you don't know that she's spreading these lies about you, but and you never do find out, but you just life just becomes such a drag even when you're out of the mine. You know, there's nobody will talk to you, and certainly your wife won't talk to you, and she even stops cooking for you. And so you just kind of go downhill. you know, you get thinner and thinner. And you pass away the ailment. Well, it has to do because you stop eating. You do just really literally stop eating. And I'm trying to get them to tell me what that illness is, but there's that, no, that just diverts the whole thing, that, because that's where your fear of being ostracized, if that was it, you know, a traitor, that's where, because I see you, you know, on your deathbed, you have tears in your eyes. You think, what have I done? And illness, so, consumption, that's the word. Consumption, as I said, the body, that came. Consumption.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's that, David. That's
well, thank you, my dear. All righty, well.
A lot more than that. You meditate on that, and you're going to get a lot more out of that.
I will do that. And I thank you so much for being with me again tonight. And check your email and let me know if November 6th might work out for you. And
yes,
for the
I
time
would
being.
Say offhand, yes, but I have to check my schedule. So
I totally understand.
You know.
Yep. Okay, that sounds good. So I'd like to thank everybody who's called in tonight. We always have a wonderful time with Dr. McIntyre, who is so gifted, as we all are, when we tap into our dormant potentials. And the best way to do that, folks, is to follow whatever it is that you enjoy and let that lead the way, because I never knew I was going to be an author or a radio host, and I love my life today after having followed some other things that I was good at that I didn't enjoy. So right now, I'm going to come to a close for this evening and invite you all to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
That's a wonderful affirmation.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.
Janice, this is David Clark. How are you? Janice, are you there? Janice, are you there?